or the door or the awning or whatever it is that has the address. I'm looking, is that the thing? And I'm looking for an address. I'm looking for, you know, whatever it might be, 8700. You know, I'm looking, I'm squinting, it's 87. Is that it? And behind me, the guy, the guy behind me, big fat hurry, this guy. And, you know, my wife says, well, look at the street sign, okay? You're going to see 8800 block. Boom, you know where you are, right? I said, yeah, but no, nobody's got a stinking address. What's the story with addresses? Why can't they put address up there? An address. You know, I'm looking at, you ever notice that? You're going down a boulevard, man, where's the damn number? I'm looking, I have gone blocks, miles, looking for a number. There's a number, and you're 86 blocks away from where you were. I'm looking for 8700, and I see 8500, and I see 8600, and suddenly there's no 8700 for 10 blocks, you know, and finally I'm up to 9500. Now I got to turn, squinting and looking. So that's how I spent a majority of my afternoon there in the great city, and I do mean it, the great city of Beverly Hills, California. Squinting at the signs and driving my little car with all of those nice-looking wheels, good-looking rods and rides they have in Beverly Hills, and the marvelous, what do you call it, a trattoria? What the hell is a trattoria anyway, Mike? Is that an Italian restaurant, a trattoria? Is that a luncheon? Is that Italian for lunch? Is that Italian for automat or something? Trattoria? They got trattorias, they got pizzerias, they have coffee places, marvelous restaurants. RJ's for Ribs is there. I just go by some of my favorite places, Nate and Al's. And you know, and clothing stores, certainly. Go in, pop in, get yourself a $2,000 sweater. It's a great, beautiful, and scenic city, but man, I can't see Jack. My eye's getting worse. And squinting up at these signs. So anyway, I finally find where I'm going to, and I go inside the thing, and it turns out that it's the wrong thing, and I shouldn't have been there, and I'd love to go into it with you, but it involves a potential sponsor, and I don't. They're wonderful people, but I don't really want to talk about them behind their back without them defending themselves. So anyway, I walked in, and they were going to sponsor, you know, they were going to buy some time on the show, and I walked in, and it wasn't what I thought it would be, and I said, well, you know what, I can't do this. And they said, well, okay, I guess if you can't do it, and so I split and got here to the station, and one of the salespeople came to me and said, what the hell happened? I said, well, I can't do it. Well, they're really mad at you. I said, well, I'm sorry if they're mad at me, but I'm not going to do it. You know, the show is just, I mean, I do a certain thing on my show. My credibility is already twisting in the breeze as it is. I mean, the one spot where I should have some credibility, I think, is in the commercials that I do on the show. And so that's why I can't, at this particular time, endorse this particular product that they wanted me to. But it was just one of those days. And I'm not complaining. I love my life. I am. But, you know, it's like that, man. And hungry and popping speed and, you know, doing all the things that I needed to do to get through the day. But they came to this wonderful place. We are going to...
And now, here's Phil.
Good evening, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I start the show this evening having spilled a cup of coffee on the table in front of me, and it's just another one of those reasons why we're not going to work out of the studio any longer. There's no workspace here, and it never has been. God, I hate starting a show belly aching, but you know what? It just seems like it's gotten worse in the last... That's good, Mike. Get me two napkins for a lake. Oh, good. Okay. I spilt like a cup of coffee. So, in other words, I've got Lake Michigan sitting in front of me, and Mike comes back with a piece of tissue paper. Will this help? You can hear it. Listen to Schaefer breathing. This is good breathing, man. Okay, dude, I'll do it. This is not your job, okay? You're a producer, all right? You're no chick. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I've gotten worse as the days progress toward my departure from our studios at KFI Radio in Los Angeles to our permanent home at Premier Radio on the west side of town, I've gotten worse in terms of being able to deal with these small problems. Today, I just chewed somebody out, man. I mean, I lit into somebody. Maybe I shouldn't have done it. And I talk about sounding like an old man. It was some of the younger people work at the station. They were like, I don't know, what would you say? They were, you know, they were kind of flirting with each other. And I went, and why don't you people take that out of here? They were just flirting with. It was one of the guys and one of the women on the staff here. And I said, I'm at the computer. I'm working. And she's like hitting on this guy. And I said, I did, go buy him a drink. I must have sounded like just a wrinkled up old creep. There was that and this problem I had with a sponsor today. And now I come in here and I spill coffee. And it's almost as if I, you know what I'm saying, man? It's like I've got gallstones or something. Or I'm sitting on hemorrhoids or this problems. I feel pretty good. But it's one of the reasons, like I said, why we're leaving here. There's no workspace here. And as a result, I poured a gallon of coffee right down my crotch here with just about 3 seconds into the show. Nice, red, piping, scalding, hot coffee. I poured about 2 quarts worth right down my pants. Nice, hot, scalding coffee. You know what I'd like to do with a cup of scalding coffee? I think I'll just pour it right into my crotch. That is an awesome idea. And then I'll sue myself. Okay, what? Yeah, that's great, Mike. Thanks. he doesn't give me my copy. We're going to have to hang this up on a clothesline, man. Look at this thing. May I remind you, this coming Saturday, I will be at the Sit and Sleep store, the Mattress Superstore in Tarzana at 19119 Ventura Boulevard. We're south of the 101 between Tampa and Reseda. That's this coming Saturday between noon and 3. We're going to be signing the Best of the Phil Henry Show 1999 CD. For only $20, you'll get a CD signed by me, and all the proceeds go to a great charity, My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway youth. That's going to be this coming Saturday between noon and 3 at the Sit and Sleep Mattress Superstore in Tarzana. That's 19119 Ventura Boulevard, just south of the 101 freeway between Tampa and Reseda. We're going to be signing an extra hour. We're going to autograph the CDs. We'll take pictures. We'll personalize them. We'll do whatever you'd like. All of the money goes to the great people at My Friend's Place. We've made over $60,000. Didn't get a total today, but I'll have one for you tomorrow. The amount of money that we've raised in the last month. Now, you get on the line here with Brad Rifkin. He's the owner of the Old Boot Tavern, which is a bar in Fullerton, California. And I'll get Brad on the line. I don't know if anybody saw the story about tall men getting more women. And I had an idea about when I read this article, I had an idea about talking with tall guys. And then we read where there's this bar down in Fullerton that has a short guy night. They have a short guy night where apparently short guys get in for whatever it is, like half price, and all the women get in for, there's no cover on the women. So it kind of gives the short guys a shot at the ladies, and it gives the, sort of lets the short guys rule the roost for the night. Brad is with us from Fullerton. Good evening, Mr. Rifkin.
Good evening, Phil. Thanks for having me on your program.
So you own this, how long you own this bar?
We purchased Old Boot Tavern right out of college. As a matter of fact, my brother and I bought the original Old Boot Tavern. It was a place called DeLacy's, and we changed the name to the family. We called it Rifkin's for a while, and then we changed it to Old Boot in the mid-1980s. And it's been in our family for the last almost a little over 20 years, actually, in 1978. And we have had good success here. We originally from the New York area. When we relocated here to California, my family's been in the restaurant business back in New York. We relocated to California and went into a real estate buying mode and purchased this tavern. It's been a lot of fun.
What? Tell me about Short Guy Night. Why the idea for Short Guy Night?
The idea for Short Guy Night really started because we were thinking of having a ladies' night and. And we were having Monday Night Football, and we were trying to think of a night where we could involve the guys a little bit. And we had, and I have seen over the years, problems develop in a bar when a guy has too much to drink, and another guy has too much to drink, and generally speaking, you've got a lot of these shorter guys who have, you know, you mentioned the Napoleon complex, and they want to start to get into somebody's face, because the tall guys, you know, sort of, I guess, kind of, you know, control the dance floor a little bit and control the ladies. So,
all right, so what are you saying? You're saying, in other words, the shorter guys were getting into fights?
Well, you'd see, it's common in the business that I'm in to watch. I watch people, and I noticed that short guys got into that Napoleon thing where they get up into a big guy's face. And, yeah, there would be a disturbance. You'd have to ask somebody to leave. A lot of times it might be a little guy going after a tall guy. It was rarely you'd ever see a tall guy going after a little guy. But the little guys, the shorter guys, would go after these big guys. And I was thinking about it. I was talking with my brother about it. And I said, well, maybe if we have a short guy night where they're not preempted by the big guys, where they're not, you know, sort of kept from the ladies.
Well, what do you call short? How do you determine that?
Well, medically, my understanding is medically, any man under 6 foot tall is considered short. So we, Phil, on Wednesday night, which is we have our door people literally measure the guys coming in.
How are you doing that? Are you doing that with a tape measure?
That's correct, yeah. We have a tape measure, and we measure the guys coming in their stocking feet. And if they're under 6 foot tall, they get half charged, the half charge and the cover charge, and they come in. And so for one night of the week, the short guys get in. They're the majority of the guys in the room. They dance with all of the women. The women, there's no cover charge for the women. They're the guys that can control the pool table. We do a lot of different things for them. We bring in bigger bar stools for them to sit up at the bar so that they feel, you know, they're as tall as other guys. We do a thing where...
You have... large bar stools.
We do. In other words, what we try to do is make the short guys feel at home. So we have taller bar stools, and we have a runner that runs around our pool table. They can step up on a platform around the pool table so they can reach the pool ball, billiard balls. And all of this is done to make the short guys feel at home. Because when they're in the bar with the big guys, feelings get hurt. They get into a big guy's face. Fights break out, and it doesn't make for a very good scene. With a short guy night, it's nothing but little guys. They can get in there, and
and let's keep in mind again, and we have to tell the audience, we're talking with Brad Rivkin. He owns the Old Boot Tavern in Fullerton, where they have short guy night on Wednesday nights. Anybody under 6 foot, right? We're not talking about midgets.
No, we're talking about short, little, you know, short guys. Which medically, if you're under 6 foot, you're a short guy. Yeah, we make the drinks in 6 ounce tumblers. We have phone books available.
Phone books for what? For sitting on?
For lifting them off the seat. We have the 6 inch. The purpose of the night is to channel shorter men into the bar so they don't get their Napoleon complex going. We don't want these guys getting, excuse my language, but we don't want to get them pissed off at big guys. So we channel and funnel the shorter guys in the bar so they don't get the Napoleon complex going with big guys, only to wind up getting their asses kicked. Because what happens is you get these little guys, these 5'11", 5'10", 5'9", whatever they are, 5'5", they get the Napoleon complex going. They get into a big guy's face. They wind up getting their ass kicked out of the bar. They wind up getting their ass bounced off of a car hood someplace out in the parking lot. And they still don't wind up going home with no woman, you know. So these guys have their own night.
Okay, it's an interesting interesting premise. We're going to get back to Brad Rifkin, owner of the Old Boot Tavern. He has short guy night, and the reason why he has a night dedicated to shorter men is so that they don't get their Napoleon complex going, as you just heard him say, and get into a fight with a big guy and wind up, quote, getting their asses kicked, end quote. Check that, too, if you wouldn't mind, Mike, about that medically speaking, anything under 6 foot is short, because I don't think that's... I could be wrong, but I don't think that's right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry. Bradbury Show, 1-800-449-8686. And Brad Rifkin is a business owner, a tavern owner in Fullerton. The Old Boot Tavern on Wednesday nights has Short Guy Night. And this night was developed for shorter men because you said, Mr. Rifkin, they were evidencing a Napoleon complex?
That's correct. In other words, they were short men with a drink in them will get into the face of a bigger guy. Ask any big guy, and they'll tell you at times in their life they've had to contend with these shorter guys who feel insecure about their size, want to compensate for their lack of size by getting bossy, getting pushy with big guys, and it makes for a very ugly scene. What we did is we started Short Guy Night so these guys could go in at half charge. It would be their night. We let the women in, no cover charge, and the short guys can rule the roost for the night, and this kind of heads off any fist fight that might break out between a little guy and a big guy, where the little guy gets his ass kicked and thrown in the street. We don't want to see that. We want to see them have a good time, and we go out of our way. Like I said, we have special bar stools, special tables. We have a pool table with a hydraulic lift and a special runner around the bar. So that
what is the hydraulic lift on the pool table lifts up? Or
no, it lowers down.
That's what I meant to say.
It lowers down, Phil, and we make it as comfortable as we can for the short guys.
And this is for men 6'6", what is it?
5'11 and under, under 6 foot.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Hendry Show number. Here's Covina. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, I'm 5'11". You're saying I'm short compared to somebody?
Medically speaking.
Medically speaking?
Yes, sir.
Are you a doctor?
No, but those are the definitions that I've heard.
So what if someone comes in, they're 4 feet tall, are you going to lower the pool table? Now I got to get on my knees and play?
I don't understand.
You said you're going to lower the pool table for someone that's shorter, if they're 4 feet tall.
How does that work? In other words, if a guy is much, this man's 5'11", I'm 6 foot. You're telling me I wouldn't get in. Is that right?
If you're 6 foot, technically, no, you wouldn't, Phil.
All right, so this gentleman's only an inch shorter than me, and yet he's got to, I mean, he has to go in there and shoot pool with a guy. I'm laughing at the thought. Forgive me, but you're going to lower.
Well, yeah, it's a good question. What we have to do, in other words, is we have to work out the compromise. But I think if you're 5'11", if you're 4 foot, there's a brotherhood that you share with guys.
How is 5'11" and 4 feet tall brotherhood? I could skip over it.
What I'm talking, so you could skip over it. The fact that you're both short, or shorter. He's shorter.
How tall are you? That 5'11 is short.
I'm 6'3".
You're telling me that 4 inches difference between short and tall.
Well, I mean, here's what I would suggest for you. You would probably be better going into the bar at a regular night. Don't go into the bar in the night. If you see a 4-foot-high guy in there, I'd turn around and leave.
So, in other words,
I really don't know what's funny, Mr. Henry. What I'm trying to do is avoid incidents where a little guy is going to get up.
This man's 5'11". He's going to get up into somebody's face?
I'm an inch shorter than somebody else?
I don't know the gentleman. I would guess not. But I'm saying if you're 5'11", you walk into the bar.
You know what? I think you're trying to get free advertising. It's a gimmick.
Oh, sure. I don't deny I want to get advertising for my establishment.
Well, I will say it's my fault. I found out about the guy's Short Guy Night. We called him. We put him on the air. He didn't really canvass us. But the point you're making about a 4-foot-high guy, so this man walks into the bar 5'11". He sees a 4-foot-high guy playing pool. And what?
I would wait for the table. Wait till he's done.
And then what? You push a button?
Behind the bar, you push a button and the table goes up, yeah.
That's crazy. You're crazy. What about urinals? Are they short of urinals in there, too?
Well, why
short of toilets?
The toilets, are you asking seriously?
Yeah, I mean, you're saying you're lowering and raising everything to compromise?
If you're asking me, say we have an attendant who will... I don't know whether this guy's serious, Phil.
Yeah, you're a serious question. What's the answer?
We have people in the bathroom who'll lift you up and put you in a seat. Yeah.
You're joking. Okay.
You got to be kidding.
No, I am saying to you that if you have a problem with your size, getting onto the toilet.
I'm going to go in there and someone's going to lift me up to the urinal.
5'11", I doubt 5'11". It. 5'11", I doubt it. But if you're 4 foot tall and you may need some help, we're happy to do it for you.
How manly can a guy feel when he has to have a guy pick him up and put him on a toilet?
Does he shake him too when he's done?
Very funny, sir.
All right. Well, thank you for your call.
Hey, great show. Thank you very much.
If you're 5'2 and your feet dangle from the toilet, you may need help getting up there. That's all I'm saying. Do your feet dangle?
No, but it's dangling.
All right. How about you?
All right.
I tell you, my feet dangle when I use the handicap.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, if I go into the handicap toilet, my feet definitely, I feel like I'm 4.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that's weird. Can I ask you a question? You're the talk show host.
Yeah.
Why do cripples need a bigger toilet? What's that about?
Well, first of all, sir, I don't like the use of the word cripple.
I'm sorry, but do you have any... All right, I don't want to use the word cripple. Do you have any people what don't walk good listening to your show to explain why they need a big toilet?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure if there are some handicapped people listening, they can give us an answer to your question is...
Yeah, my question is simply because the state came into my bar and said, you got to have a handicapped toilet. And I said, well, what is that? He said... All I know is they're bigger than most people's toilets. So
okay, we'll take a break and try to answer that. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
フィル・ヘンドリーエアをご利用いただき、
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Brad Rifkin, who is the owner of the Old Boot Tavern in Fullerton, on the line with us. On Wednesday night, they have Short Guy Night, and you said, Mr. Rifkin, one of the reasons why you have Short Guy Night, that is letting men in under 6 foot tall is so that they don't get their Napoleon complex going and get their asses kicked by big guys on other nights, right?
Well, that's one of the reasons, Phil. There's other reasons having to do with women. May I read something to you?
And what is this from?
This is from today's newspaper. This is from the L.A. Times today. Taller men get more girls. If I could just read this.
Go ahead.
If it seemed as if the tall guys got all the girls in high school, it wasn't your imagination. New research suggests taller men are more likely to marry and tend to have more children than short guys. What's behind the phenomenon, whether women prefer taller men or those men are simply more outgoing, is up for debate. But the numbers stack up against short guys. Well, basically, what they're saying is women are, you know, women go for big guys, tall guys. So what we did is we had short guy night. So the guys get in. We don't charge any cover for the women. And for at least one night a week, the short guys rule the floor, they rule the bar, and they got a good shot at getting some of these women that otherwise the big guys are going to get because the short guys are getting lost. I mean, you go in a bar on a regular night where the women are talking to the tall guys, the short guys, you can't even see them because they're
getting blocked out by taller people?
Yeah, they're getting blocked out. The waitresses don't know where they are. So these are the things that we try to...
What do you mean the waitresses don't know where they are?
Yeah, a short guy, there was one guy complained he couldn't get a drink for 2 hours because the waitress had walked by and either the napkin dispenser or you know, where we keep the hard-boiled eggs, he was, like, underneath it. And
what are you, was the guy a midget or something?
No, I'm just saying, the shorter guys, you can't see them because they're blocked by, you know, the bar stools and stuff. So that's one of the reasons why we do that as well.
So that the bigger guys aren't getting all the girls.
That's true. Sometimes a lot of the shorter guys, Phil, if you do this line of work like I do, you own a bar like I do, then you know. And sometimes they're blocked by the women. I mean, the women are big, so you don't see them at all until the place clears out. Then there's one short guy there who's got his tongue hitting the floor because he hasn't had a beer for 3 hours. And that's bad.
All right, let me go to Clearwater on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes. I just wanted to tell you the reason that people need these high johns. The reason for it is...
No, you're talking about the handicapped people needing larger toilets?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They're higher. They're not larger, but they're higher in height. And the reason for that is because your degree of angle of your legs when your knee replacements heal is different. I have one that's only 90 degrees, but the other goes 120 degrees. But yet when I'm sitting on a low toilet, I can't get off of it without a rail. I have to open the door and pull myself up. You don't have the leverage to go straight up and stand.
Are you saying one of your legs is shorter, ma'am?
No. Not the leg is shorter.
You said one leg doesn't bend?
As far as the other one.
Right.
In other words, when you're sitting in a chair,
yeah,
one knee only goes 90 degrees, which would be straight down to the floor.
Gotcha.
The other one goes back to 120 degrees.
Who's the guy that did that?
Back under the chair.
Who's the guy that did that job?
Well, it's not the point. It's the way it healed because of the disability and the problem that was there before.
I'd find that guy, get it fixed.
But you need.
But the point being,
you need to have the handrails to help assist you to get up. Also,
why are the toilet? Why are they wider? They just seem huge.
They're not wider.
They're not wider. They seem wider. Like my ass, pardon my language, but it feels like I'm going to slide right down into the bowl.
They're never wider. They're only higher.
The guy came to me from the state and said, you got to put in these handicap johns, and I did it. He said they got to be something like 3 feet wide.
Well, if they need them 3 feet wide, then that's probably for people with hip replacement.
I got you.
So how are you going to sit on a toilet 3 feet wide?
I don't know.
You slide in.
Like a fat guy with a hip replacement. I don't know what it is, but it's nuts.
All right, dear, thank you for that. So now you know why they need the bigger toilets, and you're the guy that spent the money on it.
I know. I got all these upgrades. I can't keep up with it.
Here's Riverside on the Phil Hendry Show. Riverside, hello. Is he there? Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. We got Brad Rifkin on the line. He is a bar owner in Fullerton, California, the Old Boot Tavern, which is a place that has short guy night. And that's letting all the short guys in, right? And let me ask you something. You wanted to offset fist fights and make sure the short guy, I guess you're trying to get the short guys laid. Is that it?
Well, I don't want to put it that way. But when you put a guy in a bar who's under 6 feet tall and he's got all these bigger guys, it's not a, he hasn't got a shot in hell. He's not got a shot in hell of getting laid that night. So, yeah, we did that. And also, I don't want him getting pissed off and wanting to kick ass on big guys because that obviously is going to, you know, going to cause a problem, Phil. So we hope that we've been able to offset the problems that a lot of these short guys have getting their asses kicked.
All right, now you keep talking about how short guys will get their asses kicked in a bar. There are a lot of occupations with men in them who were short. Dustin Hoffman is a short man, obviously very accomplished. Mel Gibson, a short man, very accomplished. Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, you got all of these actors. Forget about it. Actors, they got little tiny actors. That's no problem. What, you know, Abraham Lincoln, let's talk about him. He was huge. Henry Ford, he was an industrialist. He was, you want to talk about movie stars? They hire those guys. All they got to do is stick them on a box and put the camera in front of them. They had a guy, I don't know his name, they had to stick him on a box. They had to put him on a phone book. While he's doing a love scene with some chick in a restaurant, they sat him down on a phone book because he was a little tiny guy. But I'm talking about...
Okay, how about Napoleon? As long as we're talking about the complex that was named after, how about the man Napoleon?
Got his ass kicked.
Who did?
Napoleon. Yeah, he went to Russia and got his ass kicked all the way back to wherever he was from. He was from France, right?
France.
Yeah, he got his ass kicked. That's what I'm talking about. And that's where the Napoleon deal is born from.
All right, here's Atlanta on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Mr. Rifkin?
Yes, ma'am.
I just can't believe you're talking about short men like this. My husband is 4'11". He doesn't need a special night at a nightclub.
4'11"?
Yes, sir. There's nothing wrong with
that. Let me tell you something. A lot of guys 4'11 need a special pool table.
No way.
Yeah, we've got guys who need a special pool table.
You know, I just...
Okay, so does your husband shoot pool? I got a guy 4'11", comes in on short guy night, we lower the table for him, and that's the first thing. I got a guy who's a regular who goes around behind the bar, knows what a button is, and pushes the button to lower the table. Say, his name is Matt. Say, how you doing, Matt? Good, Brad. He lowers the table.
4'11", he goes around behind the bar and lowers the table.
Right.
Well, my husband has a red wagon that he brings with him and stands on the red wagon.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. So, Brad, this guy comes in and lowers the red wagon, or lowers this table, right?
Yeah, they come in, they'll lower the table, and what they do is then they can shoot pool comfortably. Okay? So, in other words, words, what happens is the guy walks in, goes around behind the bar, pushes the button, lowers the table, and what you have is a nice, comfortable night of shooting pool. I can't have these guys going in on a night when there's regular-sized guys in there and pissing them off. They can't reach the table.
We got to get a better definition, too, of what you're talking about when you say short, because you say any guy under 6 foot.
I've had guys who are 5'11", feel very, I don't know what you want to call it, they feel very, very intimidated. And they want to come in on short guy night. And I don't know what the cutoff should be. So we let the guys into a 5'11". And if a 5'11" guy comes in, wants to shoot pool, and there's a 4'11" guy at the table, he can wait for the guy to get off the table.
And then press the button.
Press the button, and the table is raised right back up again.
All right, so how successful has this been?
It's been very successful. We've had a lot of people who have come in. I have never seen so many short guys getting laid. I mean, I don't know if they're getting laid or not, but if you want to see short guys get lucky, come into my bar on a Wednesday night, and probably for the first time in your life, you're going to see a whole lot of guys. You're 6 foot tall?
I'm 6 foot, yeah.
You're going to see a lot of guys that you tower over getting laid left and right. So for me, it is a tremendous, tremendous way of giving back to the community of little guys that started a lot of fights in my bars down over the years. For the most part, really weren't getting anything for it. And they are. They're getting lucky.
All right, well, Brad Rifkin is with us here from the Old Boot Tavern. It's called Short Guy Night, and they have it. It's every Wednesday night?
Every Wednesday night, Phil. Half price cover for guys under 6 foot. And for women, it's free.
All right, so all the ladies are getting in free. And if you're a man under 6 feet tall, you come in for short guy night, and it's nothing but chicks and little guys.
Okay, yeah, little guys, right.
Now, you've got a hydraulic pool table. You have a hydraulic pool table. You have bar stools that are higher than usual.
Yes.
Phone books.
We have phone books if you choose to sit on them. We've got somebody in the bathroom.
Someone in the bathroom who will lift you up and put you on the toilet.
Absolutely, Phil.
And that's every Wednesday night.
Absolutely.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talking to Brad Rifkin here, owner of the Old Boot Tavern in Fullerton. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up on Saturday, we're going to be at the Sit and Sleep. That is in Tarzana. And that's at 19119 Ventura Boulevard in Tarzana, California. We're going to be selling the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 1999 CD. For those of you who didn't get a hold of that thing, this is your opportunity. We'll get it signed for you, and you can get a picture taken, or whatever you'd like. We do a few personal appearances throughout the city. And for the rest of the time, we sell it online, and you can certainly get it online at philhendryshow.com. The CD is available there for $23.50, so when we ship it out to you, you spend $3.50 shipping and handling, and we had our radiothon, too. But if you want to get the CD in person and have me sign it for you and, you know, whatever else we can do for you, that's where we're going to be on Saturday, and I'm doing some extra plugs for that thing because we're only a couple of days away from that, and who knows what else we're going to do. As long as we sell the CD throughout the remainder of the winter months, we're going to try to get around town as much as we can. That's in Tarzana. It starts at noon. It goes all the way until 3 o'clock in the afternoon so we can get to as many people as we can. And sign as many autographs as we can and sell as many CDs as we can. We've made $60,000, that's 60 and some change in the last month, selling for my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And they do great work, and we're really, really happy. And I just found out the other day that Brian Newhouse is leaving the organization in a few weeks. He's going to go traveling with his girlfriend. They're going to, you know, head out on the road, man. They're going to get into an RV. It's Born to Be Wild all over again. Hit some campgrounds. Hit some of those KOAs. Get some of that bottled water. Trudge on back. Fill up the propane and head on down the road. So Brian's going to be splitting the organization. We love you, Brian, and we thank you for your help. Steve Lepore left. It's a whole new crew of people, but we're really happy to be working with these guys. And if you want to, and I don't know if it's your thing, but if you want to donate some money and you don't want our CD, maybe you think it's the worst thing you ever heard, maybe you think our show sucks completely, you can still donate money directly to my friend's place in Hollywood, California. They're on the corner of Hollywood and Ivar. So Brian's out of here. I had a friend, like, up in Ventura, somebody that I worked with in Ventura, go around the country with her husband in a mobile home looking for businesses to invest in. And they had saved enough money whereby they could do this. They could go around the country, see the lay of the land, and look for businesses to invest in. And I don't know, they were like in their 30s, you know, 31 or 32. And so they finally, they took off, they traveled the country, and I saw them a few years later up in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, and I said, so did you find that business? Yes, we have, Phil. We have found the business that we're going to invest in, and this is a tremendous opportunity, and it's a big, you know, the upside on this thing's fantastic. Using all of that lingo, I said, well, what business? They bought a campground. They bought some campground outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. I said, what? Yeah, think about it. It's recession-proof, man. Like, let's say the whole thing goes to hell in a hand. Let's say the whole thing goes to hell in a handcart and it's depression time, man. Why, people can come to our campground and live there. And, of course, if it's not, if everything's great and everybody wants to go camping out, they can come to our campground and they can camp out there. You know, there's a fine line, Phil, between camping out and living. If things get really bad, but you don't want to feel depressed about it, just consider yourself camping out. You know, like Woody Guthrie or whoever those guys were, the guys that rode the rails back in the 30s, they weren't hobos. They were just camping out. They were, they were just hopping from campsite to campsite. So in any event, that's what they did. They bought a campground, and they got a souvenir shop there, and I don't know what the hell they've got, man. They got a few skulls, dangling, shrunken heads. I said, what the hell are you going to do with those? Well, you know, whatever, yeah, I don't know. I said, well, what is this crap that you're selling? Well, it's just stuff. I said, because I notice I go into somebody's place, I see this stuff. I don't know what that is. I mean, what are you trying to do? It's just crap that you sell, Phil. Don't get nuts about it. It's just crap that I sell. Well, you got shrunken heads. You have like those Aunt Jemima jars, you know, the little black lady where you lift her head off and the cookies go in. He says, yeah. I said, great. You got any of those in white? I mean, you got the little black lady. You got, oh, yeah, we got some white stuff, too. Shrunken heads, Confederate flags, the Eiffel Tower. Now, keep in mind, this dude has got a campsite out on a windswept highway in New Mexico. Why is he selling the Eiffel Tower? He's got these little Eiffel Tower, what do you call those things? Paperweight. Why? He says, you want to be, people buy them. Who buys them? Just people come in, you know. They camp out, they come in, they buy crap, and they... I sell tons of these. I sell like 50 of these a week. You got to be putting me on, man. I'm camping out in New Mexico, and I'm buying the Eiffel Tower paperweight? Oh, yeah. I can't keep them in stock. Bull crap. Can't keep... I'm sending away to Paris for these things. Guy's buying the Eiffel Tower paperweight, and he's in New Mexico. And I said, and by the by... what about the shrunken heads? What's that about? Well, it's very exotic. You know, people are camping out. They think this guy's going to shrink their head. I don't know. I said, where do you get those? Venezuela. So, in other words, and he's buying them from Venezuela for like nothing. He's got these shrunken heads dangling there at the checkout counter at the campground. He's selling shrunken heads, the Eiffel Tower, bottles of French champagne, who knows. And all the, you know, he's out in the middle of a highway in New Mexico with a... and a tumbleweed going across the street. You know... I said, man, you know what you're doing. Obviously, I'm stupid. Well, you know what, Phil? You got to have a knack for this stuff. I said, I'd never in my wildest dreams would I ever think that I could start a campground in New Mexico, and I'd make myself like a land office or a land boom business or a box office business selling shrunken heads and Eiffel Tower paperweights. Oh, yeah, man. You guys are doing good. Oh, we're doing fantastic. You wouldn't believe it. And then he's got the cooler. He's got stuff to drink there. Postcards, pens, and sunglasses. And the sunglasses, they sell like crazy because people are always losing their sunglasses. And they come in here and they buy these cheap $8 sunglasses. I said, let me ask you a question. What about these stuffed animals? Yep, I sell a hell of a lot of those. I can't... For who? For what? To kids? No. They come in, they just buy a stuffed animal. I said, this is New Mexico in a campground. I can't understand anybody would go out of their way to buy a stuffed animal. And what it is it's called impulse buying. And you guys know what this is. You've done it yourself. You stand at a checkout stand. As you're waiting to get your crap checked out, what do they have there? They have gum. They have candy. They have the National Enquirer. They have little dangling toenail clippers. They have Breath Assure. They have all that stuff that most of it you don't need, right? And like when I'm standing in line with the kids, can we get some of this? And Catherine, you know, the 8-year-old, she's the worst. She, I want this, and she's grabbing crap, man. I put her down because she's 8. I'm looking at 40-year-old women doing the same thing. Oh, we need some of that, and we need some of that. Why do you need that right now? You do not need that $6 pair of toenail clippers. I know you don't need that. Well, I got to have it because it's here in front of me. And let me get the Enquirer, and let me get the Globe, and let me get the World Weekly News, and I got to get some of these Starbursts, and here's some of this. And, you know, you just by looking at that crap, you put on 8,000 pounds on your ass before you even got out of the store. North Hollywood on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I used to sell that stuff in San Francisco.
Oh, great.
It's called Chosky's.
Where? In
the Embarcadero.
The Embarcadero.
Right.
And on the street?
No, in one of the little shops. And, you know,
so what were they buying? Were they buying the cookie jars?
Or
the well, because they want a they want a souvenir of being in San Francisco, right?
Right, exactly. You know,
yeah, but what about getting an Eiffel Tower paperweight?
Well,
wait a second. Wait a second. Why an Eiffel Tower paperweight in New Mexico?
They just want a souvenir.
I went to New Mexico. See, the Eiffel Tower, great.
I mean, you could get those.
It was
like
fun.
A dime a dozen. You buy them in Taiwan. You go through a broker.
I'm telling you, this guy's brilliant. You don't have to sell the Transamerica building, dude. When you were selling them tchotchkes in San Francisco, you could have Big Ben.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that's what you should have done.
I mean, all you do is check off a list of, you know,
sell
items.
Any shrunken heads?
Whatever.
Okay.
And, you know, they send it to you. It's all made in Taiwan.
The shrunken heads are made in Taiwan.
Right.
Well, you know what?
Made in Taiwan.
Now the business is, I'm going to start making shrunken heads in America. Sell them to that guy there in San Francisco. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.